This is the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk on every team in the NHL.
This is the Broadway Boys Podcast through the Hockey Podcast Network, and we are back with Season 5, Episode 46, as I am back, recovered from an illness. Still, throat's a little sore, but I survived. I lived. Thank you, Andy, for covering for me. So with that, I should say, Andy, how are you doing, my friend?
You know, I don't smoke, but I really feel like I need a cigarette after the crazy action we had today. We're recording this on Wednesday night. The trade deadline is a scant 2 days away, and it just seems like today was the day that the dam kind of finally broke. We've had some moves leading up to this. The Mantha trade the other day, obviously. Hell, even before that, they had the Elias Lindholm trade to Vancouver. But now there's already talks that he might get flipped again. You know what I mean? Yeah, it's just a bit. Today was a crazy, crazy day, and I literally have my Twitter feed open in a second on my other screen, because I'm sure something's going to happen during this podcast.
Well, the news yesterday, I mean, obviously it's been a crazy day, but it's not like there's not big names getting still thrown around. I mean, now the Devils, an hour ago, basically said Toffoli's back on the market, and they're looking for a couple picks. If you got something breaking, you might as well just break it.
No, I don't. But okay. I'm just now. This is the first I'm hearing about it. Although I knew it was a possibility, but you know, you have to wonder if
he really wants the range.
Well, also his shit's just across the river. What I know it sucks because you're a rival, but would you have any interest in Toffoli?
Yeah, I guess it really depends on what the cost is. I mean, you're not going to give the New Jersey Devils your first round pick, right? I mean, you can't do that. In my opinion, you know, heaven forbid they draft somebody and that person just becomes great for them and you fail to win the Stanley Cup. And I don't know if the Devils would really want to do business with the New York Rangers. Yeah. I never really totally understood that. At least from a New York Rangers perspective, because you haven't won anything in, you know, over 50 years. So what the hell's the difference? Or won one cup in over 50 years. So what the hell's the difference? You know?
Yeah.
It's like at the same time, you're sitting down and you're watching, you know, all the movement around the league. And if you're the New York Rangers, I kind of like that. The fact that we don't seem so desperate, you know, and I think Drury's playing his cards, you know, very tight, and I think it's going to benefit the Rangers in the long run. And unless it's a big ticket player, I don't think the first round pick is going to go. I think the only way it leaves is either if it's a Buchnevich or a Getzel trade. And that's just my opinion. So I would like to hear your thoughts, because it went from the New York Rangers first round pick is untouchable to, well, we will if the price is right. And now all of a sudden it seems like, unless that's a big ticket item, no one's touching that first round pick.
Yeah, I mean, the good news is everything we've heard so far has Chris Drury balking at that. But that being said, for better or for worse, we know that he kind of has ice in his veins and he's willing to wait and wait and wait and wait and wait. And there is a chance that he could wait too long on his price. And then the last player left is Frank Vetrano and he needs a winger. And at that point, I guess, well, either he loses out on Vetrano and then the only wingers left are very expensive, or he has to go get an underwhelming winger. Or like I said, the flip side of that is that he waits and waits and waits and Vetrano's the last one left. And they're like, well, he's right here. Are you going to do it or not? And then the Rangers end up doing something stupid like for a moral victory. All right, second in 2025. Condition that it becomes a first in 2024, 2026, that becomes a first of 2024 if the Rangers reach the Eastern Conference Final or something. You know what I mean? Which might as well be a first, because, yeah. So, That's what I'm saying. Well, that's what my fear, obviously.
Well, let me ask you this. With all this, you know, the first round pick is sacred, and I feel like you're a part of that camp. If I believe it was Whitney tweeted,
yeah,
you know, if you're going to go for it, who gives a shit about the first round pick? Like, if you truly believe in your team and you think you're one player away, who cares about that price of that player?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that. That being said, well, I guess, A, let's say the Rangers, after the trade we're probably going to talk about here in the next few minutes, they don't have a second round pick in their next three drafts or a third round pick in the next two. So they essentially either have to trade their first or like a really low pick or players or prospects for lower rentals. You know what I mean? So you're right. I mean, it's almost like they have positioned themselves that they almost have to take a huge swing or like try to get a guy like Duclair done with like a prospect of, you know, that's not currently on the roster. So, but I do agree with you that in a vacuum is that, you know, on the one hand, it's like this is obviously a year where the East, other than the Panthers, seems pretty wide open, you know, and who knows? They could run into, if the Isles make the playoffs, the Panthers could run into like Sorokin, who gets on a heater for some reason. You know what I mean? So you just never know. But I guess the problem is that I think it's now clear that the Rangers early on in the year thinking about this team with a healthy Heedle and being able to make an ad, and that I think there was the feeling that at least, all right, they're up there. And to their credit, they've maintained their spot among the top, you know, the best in the league, despite that injury. But that being said, I think at least as it stands today, I think we can all see they are not, especially after some of the moves some of the teams around the league made today, are they in that conversation with like some of the big three teams in the league? You know what I mean? And it's like, if that's all that's left is Frank Vetrano, does that he put you there? Probably not. So at that point, you're going to give up a first for, you know, I don't know, a piece. I'd almost rather just let it roll, because it's almost as if you're just going to ride with this anyway, then you might as well at least try to save
starting the rebuild. Yeah, I couldn't agree more with you. I mean, I look at this team. Are you a Frank Vetrano away from winning the Stanley Cup? Absolutely not. That guy's not really going to be a difference maker. We're desperate for a first line right winger. If that guy's Buchnevich, spend the first round pick.
Well, I agree with that.
If that guy is Getzel, spend the first round pick. But if that guy's Frank Vetrano, do not spend that first round pick, because
yeah, I think that's what I'm saying. And
I think you punt. Yeah, no, absolutely. You punt on this one. My whole thing is that like you can't hold these picks sacred, the first round pick sacred, if you truly believe you're that player away. But, you know, obviously it doesn't mean that you spend your first round pick to bring in, you know, Duclair because you believe in this team so much. It's, you know, you got to be smart. And I think it goes, it's a player by player basis. I think, you know, it's kind of stating the obvious.
Yeah.
But, you know, and you make a great point. I mean, look, like, what are your actual chances to win a Stanley Cup? And to be honest with you, I think the Rangers' chances are very, very low. You know, I mean, I think very low comparatively.
Yeah. No, totally. Yeah. I think they have a puncher's chance. And obviously, like you said, we mentioned, luckily, they have one of the players, few players in the league that if they lock in to, you know, playing out of their mind, being their goaltender, they can win series they have no business winning, which has kind of been honestly their MO for as long as we can remember, right? It's like when they went to the Cup final, it took them seven games in every series because that their teams did not have a lot of talent, but they had literally arguably one of the most talented players in the league between the pipes for them. So, and they're probably going to continue that again. You know, obviously maybe there is some hope that the acquisition they had today can get the third line going, which means they'll have two extremely effective lines. And, you know, who knows, maybe there is a player they can get that they can acquire to get Mika and Kreider going. But that being said, you know, I think the problem is that it's not so much the players they're bringing in, it's just the players that they still have on board, will Jacob Trouba improve in the playoffs, which is possible because it's been a rough season for him so far. And by my count, in his four seasons here, he has two two bad ones, one okay one, and one good one. So, and then obviously you have Ryan Lindgren, who, depending on the night, is clearly showing the effects of the style he plays. And then, Barkley Goodrow, who is clearly just cooked as hell right now. So, that being said, the East is kind of wide open. I mean, if you have a chance to meet fading Lightning team or Detroit, who, yes, they're playing out of their minds right now, but the underlying numbers still are kind of weak, and they're definitely not as tough as the Rangers, you know, up front. So,
well, let's break this down. I want to break this down with you
absolutely,
because, you know, the East, you know, both conferences are very tough. There's, very good teams in both conferences. Yeah. I can't say that the East is better than the West right now from top to bottom. But, you know, I do think that the being in the Metro benefits the Rangers. And if you win the, you know, if you win the Metro or fall in the top three, really, I guess it doesn't matter. But, you know, the New York Rangers could potentially play a first round New York Rangers versus the Lightning, which definitely capable of winning, definitely capable of losing. But then the next round, they would play the winner of Philly or Carolina, both winnable series. I think they match up well against Carolina. And Philly, you know, I don't know what they look like, you know, come playoff time, you know, after the next, few days here, very beatable. But so really the New York Rangers' path to the Stanley Cup is, if you want to say two tough rounds, and it's probably the easiest path that any team would have to go through to get to the Stanley Cup. I mean, Boston would potentially have to play Toronto, a nightmare, Florida, and then Florida. If, you know, heaven forbid, you know, Florida pulled a fucking Boston where they get knocked out in the first round, but I don't see that happening. You know, those are two tough rounds just to start the Stanley Cup playoffs, where the Rangers have a much easier path there. You know, and if you even look out west, you know, you have Vancouver, you know, potentially playing a Vegas team, or, you know, a Nashville team, you know, same with the Dallas Stars, wherever they finish. And then you had Edmonton and LA, Winnipeg and Colorado. It's like, it's a gauntlet. So the New York Rangers, potentially, if they make it to the Stanley Cup finals and win the Stanley Cup, you know, they may have the easiest path out of anybody. So
yeah,
that's the positive, I guess.
No, absolutely. And I think, especially like you said, looking at it, the fact that for their first round matchup, they're most likely either meeting, hell, they're either meeting Detroit or one
Tampa,
or
Tampa
or the Islanders if they get in. But I just don't see the Islanders getting to that first wild card spot. So it's going to be one of Detroit or Tampa. That being said, although Detroit's playing right now, right? They're playing the Avs. What's the score of that game? I'm just curious. Let's see. Detroit Red Wings. Da-ba-ba-ba-ba. This is great podcasting. Oh, it's 9:30. It starts at 9:30. Okay. So never mind. But yeah, it's just like you said, this all of a sudden you do see the path. You're like, okay, their first rounds in the past have been kind of difficult. This on paper should be pretty easy for them. Stylistically, they match up well with both those teams because neither have blazing speed, which really gives the Rangers fits. And then after that, it's right, they would play basically the winner in the Metro.
You stay in your division, so they
play. So they play one of the Flyers or the Hurricanes. Obviously, the Hurricanes would be the tougher. Do we have faith in the Flyers being able to knock off the Hurricanes? I don't know. Also, something to note, I mean, the Flyers are technically tied with Detroit right now, and they just moved some pieces out, so they're only getting shittier. So they could still make the playoffs, but it is just, there is a chance that they are the team the Rangers face in the, you know, which would honestly, if you're facing a Flyers team that just got shittier, but they were so good early on that it was just enough to kind of catch that falling star. I guess it's also be careful what you wish for, because a John Tortorella team, he's basically like, I will take you out back and I will like have you run bleachers until you're pissing blood if you don't run the Rangers out of the building, you know, so that's not good.
In that scenario, you would have the Islanders having to leapfrog the Flyers. So.
Yeah,
I mean, which is definitely possible. I mean, as of right now, the Islanders, if they win their two games in hand, they're tied with Philly for points.
Yeah. Well, I did not know that the newest Rangers wife is due in 3 weeks with a baby. So He's either getting that dad strength, or it's gonna a lot of sleepless nights for the newest New York Ranger. So we shall see. But
that's a tough one.
That's a tough one. There's been some players in the past. They have their baby, and then they go on like a heater. You know what I mean? We know hockey games move fast, but with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, you can score faster than anything happening on the ice. This week, new customers can bet $5 and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app with code THPN. New customers bet just $5 on the NHL and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook with code THPN. The crown is yours. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NEW YORK or text HOPE-NEW YORK 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for a gambling problem by calling 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/hockey for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources. The NHL and NHL Shield are registered trademarks of the National Hockey League. Copyright NHL 2024, all rights reserved.
Now he's got to move across the entire country, and his wife is due in 3 weeks.
Yeah. Should we segue to talk about this, about the newest New York Ranger?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, obviously the New York Rangers have acquired Mr. Wennberg from the Seattle Kraken. And, I personally think it's a great fit. He's got the looks for Manhattan and New York City. Listen, some people were hating on this. Some people, love it. I tend to agree that I love it. So I agree with those people that, are excited for him to be here. I think it's exactly what the doctor ordered. I think it really gives us a different look on the third line, and to have a player like that, who's also very familiar with a lot of, the players on our team, including Panarin, who we played with in Columbus. I just think it's a great fit. It's a great person to bring into the locker room. So yeah. What are your thoughts, Andy?
Yeah. I mean, I think considering that the center market was so bare this year, which was kind of odd, but is just what it is. I like the player. I think given the circumstances of the fact that everyone and their mothers knew the Rangers needed and wanted a center, there are some other teams like Boston that were looking at a center. Clearly Colorado was looking at a center, but you see what they did to get their center. And honestly, that's kudos to Joe Sakic. That was a nice piece of business for them. Obviously they lose a good player in Byram, who was having maybe a down year, but was amazing for them in the playoffs two years ago. And so you have to give to get. I think the equivalent would be like the Rangers would basically have to ship Schneider out, but that's how confident I guess they are with their decor, that they were willing to lose that piece. You know what I mean? But that being said, I think for the Rangers, it's a good fit. Maybe the payment, I think a lot of people are overestimating the fact that they retained 50%. I personally think that's a second round pick. I see all these people online that are kind of trying to set their trades to, well, Mantha was only this, or Tarasenko was only this, whereas Tarasenko basically forced a trade. That's the only reason that, the price was so low. It just was, he was going to say, no, you're sending me to South Beach. So he basically got their GM and Pierre Dorian basically got pity picks, essentially. But that being said, the Rangers, unfortunately, it's like I said, the market was bare. They needed retention to make more moves. So Seattle kind of had a lot of power here, and they had other teams that were kicking the tires on him. So it wasn't a horrible, egregious overpay. It was definitely a slight overpay, but considering the circumstances, I think he did all right. I don't think trades is Chris Drury's forte, as we've seen at this point in time. The players he targets are, for the most part, have usually been just what the doctor ordered for this team. So, some people like costs, they like just they'll pay what they have to pay to get what they want, and they live with the consequences. And there have been some wins for Drury, and there's been some, obviously, some like most GMs, some busts. But yeah, I think I like the player. Like you said, there's been a vacuum of handsomeness on this team since Mika left, and now Alex Wennberg fills that pretty nicely. I can't wait for everyone to read about all the book talk drama that he has been engaged in, because, you know, but you can just Google that if you're interested. But that being said, yeah, I mean, Chris Drury clearly not done. And that 50% retention was super important to make sure they can do more moves. But he's going to slot in with Cooley and Kako. He's a player that is excellent defensively. He's a good playmaker. Doesn't shoot the puck a lot, so he'll fit right in. But, you know, I think there is some... I like the acquisition because I think Wennberg has the potential to be a grower on this team, in that he's had... When he was in Columbus with Panarin, when he was earlier in his career, he had some pretty good offensive seasons, so he clearly has that potential in him. He's kind of turned his game into more of a two-way center game in the last few years, but that being said, I think hopefully being on a better team can unlock some of that potential. And he's got some pretty nice goals, you know, and he's a big guy, 6'2". He skates really well, which his team needs. Not the toughest sandpaperist, grittiest guy, but, you know, he scores a lot of, he goes to the net a lot. You see a lot of his goals for the last few seasons have been him just kind of arriving at the net at the right time. And you could see him, I could see that trio of him, Cooley, and Kako working, because he's a smart player. So I think on paper, I really like it.
Yeah, and hopefully that line's really defensively responsible, and he would definitely drive that, you know, with his two-way play. Another thing, too, is that he's a really good penalty killer, too. So, you know, I think that takes away from the pressures of, you know, Zibanejad and Kreider having to kill penalties at times. You know, if he's on, you know, that top unit, you know, listen. The biggest knock that the Rangers have on him, they're like, well, he doesn't score any goals. It's like, well, guess what? Neither does our fucking first line center. So who hasn't scored, what, in like 70 freaking days, hasn't scored a goal in 5-on-5. So
ridiculous.
You know, maybe, you know, if you look at it in a certain way, if Mika actually just picks up production just a little bit, it's like acquiring a first line center at the trade deadline.
That's true. And the Rangers are in first, considering all these factors, you know, Mika playing like absolute hot garbage, or at least offensively. I've liked Mika's defensive game, but just not enough. And the numbers bear that out. It's like that the Kreider-Mika line, they don't get scored on too often, which is good, but they just don't score themselves, which is bad, which is what you need. You know what I mean? So, but,
right. Well, you know, I know you might be a little pressed for time, Andy, but having to go to work tonight.
Oh,
my
boy.
Biggest question. Oh boy, what happened?
So Kevin Weeks said, plenty of potential deal scenarios out there right now, but this one I heard has caught my attention. And he said this a few hours ago. I didn't see this, but Guentzel goes to the Canucks in a three-way trade. Guentzel goes to the Canucks, DeBrusk goes to the Penguins, and Lindholm goes to the Bruins.
The only problem with that is the Penguin fans have pointed out that they would burn their stadium down if the only thing they got for Guentzel is...
Yeah, I assume there'd be other picks, but that's, I think he's saying it's based around prospects and other things. But, I mean, obviously, we know Vancouver is the team that's the most heavily going after Guentzel right now. So, because everyone else in their conference is loading up, so they basically are like, fuck it, like we gotta do this, or else this all goes away. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I do like your little, you know, shower thought. What was it? What'd you call it?
What did I say? I don't even remember.
Shower.
Chest. Oh, that I texted to you guys earlier. What did I say? I say a lot
with
of
the Lindholm.
Is that at this
I want you
point?
To take credit for
yeah,
this.
It's like it'd be. Well, I was just thinking. It's like, you know what? Is that maybe if they're looking to get Guentzel and they need to shed salary, that or Vancouver needs to shed the salary in order to acquire Lindholm or to acquire Guentzel, maybe the Rangers could be a buyer for Lindholm. They can get an extra first to throw into the deal then an extra first to then use to turn around and get Guentzel from Pittsburgh. Stranger things have happened.
Yeah.
It would basically be Chris Drury trying to move his way into that. And I will say this, that was the one type of deal. I think Lindholm is a player they clearly really wanted. And I do wonder if that's a player that Kako would be included in. You know what I mean? But again, that's just a speculation on my part. It's definitely not confirmed or anything. You know?
Yeah. It's tough. There's a lot of moving pieces. I mean, every time I think that the Rangers are a front runner, I mean, you know, I've seen tweets, and these are all, you know, from legit sources that, you know, the Vancouver Canucks are worried that they're going to get priced out of Getzel. But who are the teams that really can afford Getzel right now?
Really? I mean, after all the Vegas is out, Florida's out. Although maybe Florida does have some more money because they only really got, I think they got retention on Tarasenko, right? So,
yeah, I don't know how much more money they have though. Everyone points to them being out on Getzel. You know, maybe, you know, first off, there's two teams that are kind of confusing me right now. Is the Hurricanes don't seem to be tied to really anybody. Although I think Getzel would be actually a good fit there. And then number two is the Toronto Maple Leafs. Have they made a move? Like, are they going to make a move? A big splash?
That's interesting. Yeah, other than Labushkin, right? They have
and
really...
then fucking Mike Rupp had the Islanders getting Getzel.
I mean, that would be. Listen, I don't know what they have to give up, unless they would they be stupid enough to give up what's his face for Gensel? I guess not stupid because Gensel's a way
Dobson.
Not they wouldn't give up Dobson, but Simon Holmstrom. Saying. You give up a first Simon Holmstrom. They don't really have any other more good prospects, but you know they have one of the worst prospect pools in the league. But you know you have a good young player in Holmstrom, a first, and then I don't know two firsts. I don't know. You know what I mean? So it's possible, but or they, yeah, yeah. But again, I don't know. There's so much information flying at me on Twitter right now. Apparently, a Colorado beat writer, Adrian Dater, said a source says that the relations between the Avalanche core players and Ryan Johansson, who we now know was flipped, soured in the last 2 weeks. It was a problem that was addressed today, but Johansson's side of the story is yet to be told. Bottom line, there was friction in the room. I mean, I'll say this, Nathan MacKinnon is a type A, win at all costs, you know, sourpuss. And Johansson is notoriously kind of lazy. So I'm assuming that's what it is. They're trying to win a Stanley Cup again. And Johansson's just like, whatever.
Yeah, I mean,
only four scouts to see the Sens and the Ducks tonight. They're from the LA Kings, the New York Islanders, St. Louis Blues, and the New York Rangers. Interesting. Vetrano watch continues.
Yeah. I'm just so sick of Vetrano. I just want it to be done. Like, I want him to be dealt anywhere except for my team.
Yeah.
Because I just know, because you said, I mean, you just know the Rangers.
They're going to spend the first on Frank Vetrano.
I know. You just can't do it. I mean, how do you justify that?
I mean, I'm obviously now there's that part of me is like, can they get Zegras somehow in this, you know?
I mean, all right.
Probably now, not. So.
Well, I mean, listen, if you told me a first and Barclay Goodrow, and you get the Vetrano.
Oh, well.
Now you're talking.
Yeah, honestly. Maybe. You know,
and you don't even have to retain anything. You can take that full salary, no problem. Yeah. Especially you're basically just swapping Gaudreau for Vetrano, and then you know you can still even make another move to bring in like a Duclair, because Duclair makes absolutely no money.
Yeah.
Is there a possibility that Gaudreau is gone?
No, I don't think so. I don't think Chris Drury has any interest in removing any players from his roster right now. You know, but well, that being said, I do, there clearly is reticence for him to give up that first, because that's been the price of Vetrano, and if he was comfortable with it, it would have happened already, which is good. So maybe right. It becomes a conditional, although they don't have any second round picks, I don't know, or it's like, all right, you can have Brett Berard in a third that becomes a first, or hell, maybe he does Othman, I don't know, but we'll see. I guess it feels, the writing kind of feels like it's on the wall, unfortunately. But
does it though? I don't get that vibe.
I don't know. Or maybe it's just my fear, but
I think it's your fear.
Yeah.
I told you, man, there's something telling me that, because Penguins were ready to give up Getzel today. Like, they wanted the deal done today.
Yeah. Well, Jason Zucker is being held out for trade related reasons.
I don't want him.
He's good. He's good offensively.
He's good offensively. I just don't want him.
Yeah, I hear you. Obviously, you need a needle mover, probably.
It's just, I want...
I think you keep saying it. Fucking bring him home. Bring Duclair home. He's got speed, which they need. He's
you
got
think
a good
he'd
shot.
Be good on the first
he's
line?
Played some... Yeah, I think so, honestly. He plays off the rush, which is the one style that Zibanejad and Kreider like to play. Because once they're stuck in their own, you know, standing around their own zone, they're just ineffective now. But he plays the one way they like to play, and he gets to the net first, which kind of draws attention away from them, giving them more space.
Yeah, or you can go with GK on Twitter, GK Machine, who said, move Rempe up to right wing one. If this doesn't wake up Mika up, nobody will. Also, another idea right there.
Yeah.
Just make Rempe your top line right winger. I'd rather do that than bring in Vetrano. It's just, listen, that line is going to need a little bit more speed, you know? And I know Frankie Vetrano's a shoot-first type of guy, and that's great, but there's still a part of me that's like, we're going to need a guy that is not going to be, like, in the playoffs, you need someone with a little bit of speed.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I don't know.
But, yeah, I mean, I think we'll have to probably just finish it with this, but
yep.
All I'm going to say is, if you want, well, do you have a prediction, James, for the trade deadline about who they're going to get with this? If you had to guess.
If I had to guess, I'm leaning that we end up getting Getzel. I think there's a cog in the chain right now with Pittsburgh. I think they were ready to deal him, and then the Rangers got involved, and now they're like scratching their heads on what to do. So I do think that the Rangers are very well in play here, and that might push the Getzel price too far for a team like Vancouver, and for Boston to get involved. I don't know if they are going to want to do that. I don't know. So I think the Rangers end up getting Getzel. I really do. So that's my prediction.
Yeah. Yeah. If I had to make a prediction, I think the Rangers are going to get someone, and it's going to make everyone say, what? Them? Not even aware that they were on the market or being shopped. I think it will involve probably Brennan Othman in a first. This is just my, from deep prediction. And I think it's going to be maybe even more than that. Brennan Othman a first and maybe more picks. I think maybe they find a way to get Alex Tuch done, which I would actually be happy with, you know? So that's my prediction. Probably not going to come true, but hey, man can dream, because there's still 2 days left until the trade deadline. So when you're listening to this, even though today's been crazy, or as of the day we're recording this, there's still plenty of action left to come. So buckle up, and hopefully Chris Drury's firmly got both of his hands on the steering wheel.
Thank you for listening to the Broadway Voice podcast. Be sure to follow us on X at Broadway Voice Pod, and please rate, review, and subscribe on Apple, Spotify, SoundCloud, or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network on Twitter at HockeyPodNet.
New episodes every Monday and Thursday. Download at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.